By the way, this morning we are beginning a brand new series here at Vision Church called Tests and Trials. This has been on my heart and on my mind for a long time, and I'm really excited that we finally get to jump into it today. And I trust and believe that God is going to speak to your life today, and he's going to transform you by the power of his word. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterward, you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it is displayed to all of the world. That's all I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, to go a little bit deeper here this morning, I want to lay the context out for you of when this is written so that it can just come more alive to you. The book of 1 Peter was written by Peter himself, and it was written nearly 60 AD. And this is really, really important for you to understand, because you have to know who's writing it and why they're writing it in order to get the full context of what the author is saying here, what the Spirit of God is saying through Peter. So it's nearly 60 AD, and Peter is in Rome, or Babylon. Some scholars argue where Peter actually was when he wrote this, but I personally believe that Peter was in Rome. Even though he uses the term Babylon, he was mocking the Roman Empire, calling them the second Babylon, and he's writing this from Rome to the church in Turkey, to Christians in Turkey, around 60 AD. Now, what you've got to understand about this time period and who Peter is writing to is that there are a couple things that are really important. Peter is writing to the Christians. He's writing to the church in Turkey. And at this time, Turkey is under Roman occupation. And at 60 AD, there was a Roman emperor by the name of Nero who was vicious, ferocious, demon-possessed many times over. He pleasured and delighted in persecuting Christians. In fact, he lit half of the city of Rome on fire just so that he could blame it on Christians and have cause to execute and torture them publicly. Nero was a wicked man. This was a wicked and a dark time, a very wicked season in history. And Peter writes to the churches in Turkey. He writes to the believers in that part of the world, and he says to them, dear friends, I know your life is on the line because you have professed Jesus as Lord. I know that because you are meeting together as believers, you run the risk of being imprisoned. You run the risk of being tortured, murdered, your family drug out into the streets and beaten and humiliated in front of you. Hey, church, I know that there are trials that await you, but don't be surprised when they come. In fact, when the trials and when the storms and when the tests come your way, instead rejoice. Because to partner in the suffering of Christ means that you shall also partner in the glory of Christ. Peter says to people who are literally laying their lives on the line, do not be surprised at the price you must pay for being a Christian. Do not be surprised at the price you must pay to be a follower of the Word and the Spirit of truth. See, today, in our world, many of us are even applauded for our faith in Christianity and our faith in Jesus. Many of us are celebrated. Your grandpa, your grandma, they celebrate you. They're proud of you. But in this time frame, to identify with Christ was a death sentence. You were marked. You were isolated. You were rejected from society. And when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you stepped into the front lines of persecution. But Peter, who Jesus called to establish the church throughout the ages, he writes to the Christians and he says this, do not be surprised by the fiery trials that are coming your way, but instead rejoice when they come. I love how he says, do not be surprised. I'm going to take a time out real quick and tell you a story about me. When I was in high school, I played football. And one of the first times I ever played football, we were having the blue and white scrimmage out on the field. This was like the first game I had ever played in, ever. I didn't play football till I was a sophomore in high school. And one of my coaches told me, now, when you go out on the field, you play until the whistle blows. You play through the whistle. You play till the play is over. And I was like, all right, got it. So what happens? I go out on the field. I'm playing. The guy gets tackled, and I'm just standing there watching. The whistle hasn't blown. I'm like, hey, dude, you got tackled. And then I get blindsided, like completely hit out of nowhere. It was unnecessary roughness, flag. They should have thrown the penalty. They didn't. And I got knocked completely off my feet and embarrassed in front of everybody. I was like, as soon as I got up, I was like, you saw that. Did anybody see it? And from that day on, I made up my mind that the next time I step on that field, I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm not going to get caught by surprise. I'm not going to get caught while I'm looking somewhere else. I'm not going to be distracted, because when I step on that field, I don't want to get knocked off my feet. And this morning, that's exactly what Peter is saying to believers in Turkey. This is exactly what he's saying to believers. It transcends the generations. And this is exactly what Peter is saying to you and I this morning. Hey, be sober, be vigilant as a believer. Do not be surprised. Do not be caught off guard. There is an enemy that seeks to destroy you. There is someone out to get you. Be awake and be alert. Do not be surprised. Do not be blind. Do not be caught off guard. You are in a battle. That's what Peter is saying to us this morning. That's what the word is saying to us this morning. Listen, you can't afford to get blindsided. You can't afford to be knocked off your feet. There's people that depend on you. There's a family that depends on you. There's people that look up to you, that are under your influence. You can't afford to be surprised by the trials of this life. You've got to be awake. You've got to be sober. And you cannot be surprised by the attack of the enemy. Now, I want to put it to you this way. When you made Christ Jesus the Lord of your life, when you accepted him as Savior, when you repented of your past, you confessed Christ Jesus as the Lord of Lords in your life, whether you know it or not, you enlisted in an army. And whether you realize it or not, when you received Christ into your life, you not only enlisted in the army of the Lord, but you enlisted in wartime. You enlisted while there is a battle that is raging. This is exactly what Peter's trying to communicate to the believers in 60 AD. He's saying, you who have identified with Christ, tests and trials, they will come your way, if for nothing else, but because you have identified yourself with Christ. You who are believers, who have identified with him, you have spiritually stepped into the front line, front and center of the battle that rages in the heavens and in this world. This morning, do not be surprised when trouble finds you. Do not be caught off guard when trials of this world seem to overwhelm you. Expect them, be ready for them, be alert, realize that you're on the battlefield. You don't have time to get distracted by the things of this world. If you do, you might just get knocked off your feet. We are in a battle, and it is important that we focus on Christ Jesus and not be surprised by the storms and the trials that will come our way. There's a famous quote by A.W. Tozer that says this: God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. I'm going to say that again. God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. You see, the tests and the trials, the storms, the painful seasons of your life are not meant for you and I to escape them. The tests and the trials and the dark seasons of our world are not meant for us as believers to be scared, timid, and run away. For he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Many Christians all over the world get this idea that once I become a Christian, Jesus is going to save me from everything that could possibly come my way. And when something does come my way, I'm going to say, God, take it from me. But really, God's trying to take you through it. God has a purpose for every struggle and every trial that you face in your life. And it is not always God's will to remove the test from your life. Rather, it is his will to bring you through it. God has a plan for you. And in order to use you greatly, he must test you deeply. He's got to see what is beneath the surface, and he's got to let it be exposed for the world to see. So instead of looking at the tests, instead of looking at the trials as this horrible, obscene, dark, nasty, disgusting thing, Peter tells us we ought to rejoice when they come our way. We ought to smile. We ought to be very glad when tests and trials and storms of this life come our way, because the tests and the trials of this life are the rite of passage to your destiny. They are the rite of passage to your destiny. You say, well, I don't know about that. I don't believe that. I don't like this type of preaching. I want everything to be happy and good and 75 and sunny all the time in my life. Wake up. That's not real life. It's not real life. Let me just preach it to you this way. In the 20th century, during the greatest conflicts, World War I and World War II, produced and revealed some of the greatest men our nation and the world has ever seen. It was the greatest conflicts of the 20th century that gave way to the Eisenhowers, the Churchills, the MacArthurs, the Pattons. It was through the great conflicts of the 20th century that made way for men to rise and be catapulted and elevated to greatness. It was through the conflict that men were elevated. It was through the conflict that greatness was instilled within men and revealed externally. If it weren't for the world wars of the 20th century, the names that I just read to you, Churchill, Eisenhower, Patton, MacArthur, all of these mighty generals and leaders of the free world would have been swallowed up and faded away in history. Yet it was the greatest conflicts the world had ever seen, the greatest tests, the greatest trials the world had ever seen that instilled the greatness and the strength and revealed their true destiny and identity. You see, what would Patton have been if it weren't for his enemies? What would MacArthur, what would Eisenhower, what would these generals, what would they have been if it weren't for the tests and the trials that faced their life? And this morning, I want to ask you the same question. Who would you be without the adversaries in your life? Who would you be without the tests and the trials and the painful moments that you've experienced in your life? Who would you be without them? It is those moments that you want to forget about, those dark and painful places that God plans to make you stronger and reveal his plan and your destiny through your life. It is through the greatest conflict that greatness is revealed within the hearts of humanity. So therefore, when trials come, we must not be surprised. We must not run the other way, avoid them as though there's something wrong, but we should rejoice knowing that the tests and the trials are the rite of passage to our destiny. They prepare us for greatness, and they reveal the plan of God within our life. How could you be victorious if you never faced an enemy? How could you be an overcomer if you never had an addiction? How could you be an overcomer if you never walked through dark seasons in your life? God has a plan for you through it all. If you have your Bible, flip with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says this. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV translation. It says this, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that you are destined for them. I'm going to read that last part again. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. The Word of God declares that the tests, the trials, the storms that face your life, they're not meant for you to run away. In fact, many of the tests and many of the trials and many of the difficulties that we face in our life, we were destined to face them. We were destined to walk through them because at the bottom of our heart, enlaced in our DNA, we were created and we were designed in the image and in the likeness of God, and that is to be an overcomer in every area of your life. But how could you be an overcomer if you never went through a little mess in your life? If you never went through the struggle, how could you overcome? If you never faced any trials, how could you be victorious? God has destined you to face the struggles in your life for the purpose of displaying His strength in the midst of your weakness and delivering you and causing you to be an overcomer in His name. You were meant to face the struggles and the trials in your life. The reports of the doctor that tell you that you have cancer or that your friend has cancer or your parents have cancer, that's nothing anybody ever wants to hear. But I want you to know this morning that God has a plan for you through it all. And in every adverse situation, He can deliver you. He can prove Himself strong. He can prove you as an overcomer. It is your destiny to overcome the trials and the adversity that faces your life, not to run from the problems, but to allow God to lead you through them. It is His plan and His purpose. The Word says that we are destined for trials and tests in this life. We're destined. We're destined. When trials come our way, we need not be surprised by them, according to 1 Peter 4. We shouldn't be surprised. We've enlisted in a battle. We've enlisted in an army. We shouldn't be caught off guard. But when trials come, we also should not be moved by them. If you have your Bible, I want you to look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want you to notice something really, really awesome. In the NIV, it says this, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that you are destined for them. The Word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 that we should be unsettled. We should not be unsettled by the trials and the storms that face our life. We should not be moved by them. Our course should not change because of them. Our life should not be uneasy because of them. We should strive to not be surprised and be settled through every trial and every storm that comes our way. Now you say, you're probably sitting there saying, okay, Tyson, that sounds nice. That sounds cute. We should not be moved. We should be settled in every trial and every storm. But how in the world can I be settled? How can I be steadfast? How can I be constant no matter what comes my way? The answer is found in Psalm 46. Psalm chapter 46, beginning in verse 10. It says this, very familiar, very famous passage, Psalm 46:10. says, be still and know that I am God. In every trial, in every season, and in every test in your life, you and I cannot control what comes into our life. We can't control the things that happen to us. The external events that happen to our life, we can't control them, but we can control how we respond. We do have power over how we react to the trials that face our life. And the Word of God tells us that in every trial and in every season, we should be unsettled. And the only way to be steady, the only way to be constant, is in the middle of your adversity to take a moment and just be still and know that He is God. Very simple, very basic, and very beautiful, but it's incredibly powerful. The tests and the trials come into your life to veer you off course, to change your direction, to move you, to frazzle you, to get you in a panic. But the Word tells us that we should not be caught off guard and that we should be settled in everything that we face in our life. The only way to be settled is to be still and know that He is our God. I want to ask you the question this morning. Who would you be without the trial that you're facing right now? Who would you be if it weren't for the painful experiences of your past? How could you be an overcomer? How could you be great? How could you be an overcomer and victorious in the eyes of God if it weren't for the struggles that you have walked through in your life? God has allowed these tests, these storms, these trials, not to beat you down, not to discourage you, not to kick you when you're down. God has allowed darkness into our life so that we will have a platform to move forward, so that we'll have an opportunity to overcome, an opportunity to be victorious, an opportunity to trust Him when nothing makes sense. If you have your Bible, flip with me another place really quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is His promise to you as a believer, that He will not allow anything to overwhelm you and overcome you. This is His promise, that you might be surrounded by trouble on every side. You might be perplexed. You might be beaten down. You might be worn out and weary, but you are not in despair and you are not destroyed. He will keep you from destruction. He will keep you in His hand. He will make a way for you where there seems to be no way. And in the midst of your trial, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. He will be with you through every season and every struggle. You might be in here today and you've lost your job. You're facing financial ruin. You feel like everything in your life was going smoothly and everything was going great until this. And now you've lost your foundation. You've lost your realm of comfort. And now you're panicking. You're looking at the numbers. You're looking at the bills. And you're thinking, how in the world can I ever come through this? And I just want to speak into your life this morning that you and I are destined for trials of this life. We are destined to walk through the difficulties of this world. And I want to encourage you this morning that it is a test. It is merely a test of your faithfulness, a test of your obedience. Will you panic and allow chaos and calamity to grip your world, or will you take a moment and just be still and know that He is God and delight in the One who holds your future? See, it takes another level of faith for you to believe in Him when you can't see your way out. It takes another level of faith to believe and to have peace when everything is fallen in your world around you. but you were destined for this moment. This is your finest hour. This is the moment that you were destined for. So in it, don't panic, don't run, but instead rejoice and be confident and know that he is Emmanuel, God with you. You see, it is in the darkest moments, and I've said this, I say this here all the time, but it is in the darkest moments, the darkest hours in our life that our light shines the brightest. It is not, we think that God is gonna use us when our life is perfectly in order. We think that God is gonna wait to use us until our bank account is stable, we have a good career, we have everything that we need. We think that God is gonna wait to use us then, but it's exactly the opposite. God wants to use you in your struggle. He wants to use you in your dark place. He wants to use you in your darkest hour, because it is in the blackest darkness that the light becomes more radiant and brilliant. God has a plan for you. And remember that in the greatest conflict of the 20th century, he brought forth the greatest generals of the world. And in the greatest conflict in your life, he's bringing forth the greatness out of you. He's bringing it to the forefront, and he's going to use you for his glory. We can't run from the tests and the trials, but instead, we must condition ourselves to rejoice in the midst of them. You might be in here today and you're facing a divorce. Maybe your spouse has been unfaithful. This person that you've invested years of your life into, this person that you've trusted with your deepest, darkest secrets, this person that you have trusted more than any other human being in this life, has left you and forsaken you. And now you're in this place and you're wondering, how in the world am I gonna make it through this? How in the world am I gonna survive through this? I don't think I can make it. I don't think I have what it takes. And I just wanna speak into your life right now. Although it may not be God's will for this to happen in your life, God definitely has a plan to bring you out of it, to bring you through it. You're gonna make it, you're gonna survive, and you're gonna come out of it stronger and greater and more experienced and more powerful than you ever were before. And I'm telling you, it is in your deepest pain, it is in your deepest agony that God is conditioning you and preparing you for your destiny. Your greatest ministry will come from your deepest misery, and God cannot use anyone greatly unless he tests them deeply. This morning, have the faith to hold on. Have the faith to persevere. Have the faith to believe. And when you look at your trial that feels anything like anything but heaven sent, remember that heaven has a plan for you through it all. And God's plan is to prosper you and to keep you. And though you may be troubled on every side, you will not be destroyed, and you will not be in despair. He has a plan for you in every season. In every season. How many of you are thankful that even in the tests and even in the trials of this life, he never leaves us, and he has a plan to better us and to prosper us through it all? We can't give up. If you have your Bible, flip with me one last place. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses. This is incredible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what tests and I don't know what trials are surrounding your life today. I don't know what you're walking through. But this word right here is for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, this is just insane right here. This is incredible. And this is a super famous verse that we just quote and think about, and we're like, oh yeah, that's nice, that's cute. But did you notice the words? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's what you've got to understand this morning. Tests and trials, it's not a matter of if they come your way. It's a matter of when. We shouldn't be surprised when they come. In fact, we should be sober and awake and vigilant and waiting for them, prepared, so we're not swept off our feet when they come. We should not be moved when they find us. We should be prepared and in all circumstances be still and know that He is God. But through it all, there's one last promise that the Word gives us through every trial and through every circumstance and through every storm this world can bring our way. And it is Philippians 4:7, that our God gives to us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Meaning, when you got the doctor's report, when you had the car accident, when your kids rebelled completely against everything you've taught them, when your spouse walks out on you, when your job vanishes, when your finances are in ruin, there is a peace that is available to you that doesn't make sense. There is a peace that is available to you, a peace that is yours, a peace that belongs to you that doesn't make any sense. And when you should be freaking out, and when you should be panicking, and when tears should be streaming down your face, you have a promise that in Christ, you have a peace that triumphs over every storm, every test, and every trial. His peace is greater than your problem. His peace is greater than your test. It's greater than any trial you will ever face in your life. Be still and know that He is God, and any man that draws near to God, God will draw near to you. And in His presence, there is a peace that doesn't make sense. In His presence, there is a love that doesn't make sense. In His presence, there is a peace, there is a love, and yes, there's even a joy that doesn't make sense. Let His presence be your strength in the middle of your problem. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else can do. Nothing but the presence of the Most High God. If you're thankful, give Him praise this morning. His peace never runs out. His love never runs out. His joy never runs out. And I'm not talking to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is not a game. We don't have time to waste. This is life. It is truth and it is power. And I'm going to tell you something. There have been many times in my life where I have put myself through unnecessary pain and unnecessary agony because of the stupid decisions I have made in my life. And even in spite of my ridiculous decisions, I know that when I have gone into the presence of God, He has given me a peace that does not make sense. He has wrapped His loving arms around me in my lowest moments, and He has breathed new life into me when nobody else could. He is our mediator, our high priest, our all-sufficient Savior. This is not words on a page. This is life, truth, and power. And I'm going to tell you something. When the church starts to live it out, when the church starts to be more desiring and more thirsty and hungry for the presence of God than anything else, the world cannot ignore it. They'll never be able to ignore it. You see, these tests and these trials, these storms, this pain that you go through, Yes, it's about making you better. Yes, it's about making you stronger. Yes, it's about propelling you into your destiny. Yes. But even more than all that, it's so that you can be a living testimony to the world that is watching your life that there truly is a greater God in you than that of the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But see, and I'll be honest with you, even in my own life, when trials come my way, I overanalyze, I panic, I worry, I take my eyes off of the master, and I put my eyes on trying to resolve the problems myself. And all that does is send me tirelessly and aimlessly in circles. But the moment that I can just be still and know that he is God, everything changes in my life because it is his promise that he brings a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that absolutely does not make sense. And when the world sees it in you, it's greater than any sermon you'll ever preach. It's greater than any song you'll ever sing. It's greater than any Facebook status you'll ever post. If his peace is inside of your life in the midst of your trial, it speaks volumes to the world who is watching and waiting. And they all recognize in that moment that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I got one more point for you. You got time for one more? Even if you don't, I still got the mic. You know, your entire life is on display for the heavens to watch. Your entire life is being watched by your Creator in every season, good and bad. He's watching how do you handle success? How do you handle distress? How do you handle the tests and the trials of your life? Your life, the whole thing is a test. Will you be faithful? Will you be obedient? Will you serve him? Will you have integrity when nobody else is watching? Your whole life is a test. But one of the greatest responses to the test of this life is found right here. Your greatest test is when you are able to bless other people while you're still in the middle of your trial yourself. See, the greatest testimony and the greatest witness, the greatest sermon, the greatest song that you could ever show the world is your ability to love other people while you're crushed yourself. It's the ability to bless other people when your life is in shambles. Can you bless other people when your world is falling apart? When the doctor tells you you have cancer, do you have the courage and the faith to stand up and pray for other people's healing? When your children have run off and abandoned the teachings of the word, do you have the strength and the courage to throw your arm around another parent who's hurting and say, I love you and I'm gonna pray for your children. I want you to pray for yours and you pray for mine. Do you have the ability to bless other people while you're in the middle of pain yourself? Because if you can and if you do, that is the greatest witness. That is the greatest testimony of anything the world could ever see. Will you bless others while you're in the middle of your trial yourself? This morning, that is the message for you today. It's not a matter of if storms come, but when. Don't be surprised, and don't let them move you. Don't let them shake you. Don't let them get your mind in a million different directions. When trouble comes, be still and know that he is God. Rejoice in it and be settled in your trial. Let me pray over you. Father, we worship you. We thank you for the power of your word. We even thank you for the tests and the trials that you allow to come our way. Because it is in the greatest conflict that our character is refined and revealed. Lord, give us the strength to live and to pass these tests like you would desire us to. Let us remember. Let it be ingrained. Let it be our instinct that when trouble comes, we rejoice and we are settled and we be still and know that you are our God. Thank you for the peace that surpasses understanding. Thank you for the peace that doesn't make sense, the joy that we don't even deserve. But Lord, fill your people today. Refresh them this morning and give them the strength to be overcomers in every area of their life. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. I want to read one last thing to you in closing. 1 Peter 4:12 again. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterward, you will have this wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it's displayed to all the world. This is so epic. I don't even know if I can even do it justice. The word is so incredible. It says that in our trials, in our doctor reports, in our rejection, in our financial trouble, in our family issues, in our relational problems, in our trials, in our suffering, we are made partners with Christ. Though our trials are much less than his, nonetheless, we are made partners with him through our suffering. And all who suffer with Christ shall also share in his glory. Look, you can't even imagine the glory of God. You can't imagine the majesty and the sovereignty of God. You can't imagine all that he has in store for you who overcome. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking to you about the power of overcoming tests and trials. I'm going to be talking to you about how different storms and different trials come from different places and how we ought to respond appropriately. This series is going to challenge your life. It's going to bless you. But there's one thing you got to understand. Jesus, in his word, promises that if you will endure suffering, if you will rejoice in suffering, if you will stay the course in the tests and the trials, he has promised his glory and the crown of life to all who overcome. You can't imagine all that God has in store for you. If you'll stand all over this place this morning, these altars are open. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I can't imagine a better day to do it. These altars are open. If you want to come, kneel, pray, bow, whatever. If you need prayer for something that you're going through in your life, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. Let's worship the Lord in this place and let's thank him for the storms and the trials because they only make us stronger.
Restless and